Advent is that time of the year in which we remember that we need to prepare the way of the Lord. We remember that when Jesus first came, they didn't prepare the way of the Lord. We remember that Jesus said he's going to come again, and you better hope they prepare the way of the Lord. And most importantly of all, we remember that he's trying to come into our own hearts and that we need to prepare the way of the Lord. And today we're going to talk about the number one obstacle that gets in his way. Because for most people, the greatest obstacle standing between us and God is ourselves. It's not other people the way most people think. The greatest obstacle standing between you and God is not the corrupt society with all of its sins. The greatest obstacle standing between you and God is not the church and its weak leadership. It's not the bully at school or the difficult co-worker in your office or your pesky extended family. The greatest obstacle standing between you and God is your ego. And that's what we need to deal with. And this is the best week of the entire year in which to deal with it. Because the second Sunday of Advent, every year, always prominently features John the Baptist. Every year, no matter what the readings are, second Sunday of Advent always prominently features the character of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is an afterthought for most of us. You'll find a lot of people, they're devoted to this saint or to that saint. Our very own Saint Therese, people love Saint Therese, devoted to her all over the world. And you'll find people that are devoted to Saint Patrick. You'll find people that are devoted to Saint Joseph or Saint Nicholas or Saint Catherine of Siena. Almost nobody is devoted to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is, for most of us, just an afterthought, but not for the authors of the Gospels. The authors, all four Gospels, feature John the Baptist prominently, and that's because they knew that in Jesus' time, nobody came to the Lord without first listening to the message of John the Baptist. And you want to know something? Still true today. Nobody comes to Jesus unless they first listen to the message of John the Baptist. You know what the message of John the Baptist is? Very simple. The message of John the Baptist is repent. You want to come to the Lord? That's the place to start. John the Baptist, when he first showed up on the scene, very first thing he did, he pointed out Jesus when he came. He said, that's the Lamb of God. That's the one who takes away the sins of the world. Now, listen to that sales pitch once again. That's the Lamb of God. What does he do? Takes away sins. Not that's the Lamb of God, he's going to make you a better version of yourself. Not that's the Lamb of God, and boy, once you follow him, your life is going to be all peace. Not that's the Lamb of God, and you're going to love his church. I mean, brilliant preaching, breathtaking music, and everybody's friendly and welcome. You're just going to love it. No. Message. He takes away sins. Message. You've got sins. He's the only one who can forgive them, and you need to repent. Now, the trouble with that is that many, many people don't think they need to repent of anything. It's amazing. It's probably very, very many people right here, right now. I'll hear this not infrequently as a priest. They'll say, Father, I don't commit any more sins. Right? My wife died, I don't commit sins anymore, right? My husband died, Father, I don't commit any sins anymore. Father, I'd love to repent, but I never do anything wrong. In fact, I'm a wonderful person, and this world would be so much better a place if only more people were like me. You'd be amazed how many people live their whole life thinking like that, and John the Baptist's message to you is watch out. Be careful if you think like that. Because if you look through the scriptures, you will find that Jesus reserved his harshest words not for the sinners. He reserved his harshest words for the scribes and the Pharisees, the people who didn't think they had any sins that needed to be forgiven. And he says, I've come to call sinners, not the self-righteous, so be careful. I could stand up here and I could read you an examination of conscience based on the Ten Commandments. I could talk about the seven capital sins and go through each one, you know, a little point of detail. Maybe we'll do that during Lent. Today, we're going to start at step one. And step one of repentance is to realize that you must overcome your own ego. That's what's standing in the way. Every sin begins by putting yourself first. Every sin begins by putting yourself ahead of what God asks. And some people live their whole lives like this. And they tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. They go through their day with all things seen in terms of self. What did people think of me? How was I received? Was I respected? Was I listened to? Were people paying me proper attention? Did I have a good time? Did I enjoy myself? I. That's what's got to change, amigos. Got a little meditation here. I think I might have told you this before. It's one of my favorite little thoughts. But if that doesn't ring true, if that doesn't strike home, this one comes from St. Francis de Sales, and it just says it in a little bit more detail. So tell me if any of this sounds familiar. He says, I blame others for minor infractions, but I expect others to excuse me for a major fault. I demand others take my words lightly and with consideration, but I'm sensitive and scrutinizing to every word anyone else might say of me. I insist that everyone treat me with mercy, but I demand justice and strict, swift retribution. I want to buy everything at a bargain, but I insist at a great price whenever I have something to sell. I want others to be humble about their position, but I want them to be very attentive to every detail of my importance. No one should ever complain about me, but I reserve the right to openly and freely complain about everyone else. I live my life engulfed in the faults of others, which is why I do not even see my own faults. Egotistical souls will not show others the same gentleness and graciousness they expect others to show to them. God finds this abominable and makes the soul unworthy of heaven. That's what needs to change. That is what stands in the way. Now, when John the Baptist said repent, the word he used in Greek was metanoiate. And literally, that means change the way you think. Change the way you think. Stop thinking of your life as your own personal self-fulfillment project. Am I realizing all my dreams or all my plans coming true? Start to see your life as something that God has given you and a mission that you have to accomplish. Stop living every day asking if I'm doing what I want. Start asking, am I doing what God wants? And then you begin to see life from God's point of view, so to speak. That every person you meet, every circumstance that you run into, even ones that are strange, even ones that are painful, even ones that are difficult, are not accidents, because nothing is an accident. Every moment of the day, God is trying to draw you closer to himself. And then you begin to ask some tough questions that you've been avoiding. Tough questions that we've all been avoiding. John the Baptist shows up here in the Gospels. He shows up in the desert. And have you noticed something about the Bible that always features somebody out in the desert? Have you noticed that? John the Baptist shows up in the desert, and Moses runs out into the desert. And when the Israelite people go to the Promised Land, they first spend 40 years out in the desert. And then St. Paul goes out into the desert. And even Jesus spends 40 days in the desert before he begins his public ministry. What's with the desert? Why is everybody out in the desert? You want to know what the desert is? It is a place of deprivation. It's a place where you're forced to focus only on what matters. Right? You can get something to eat, you got to get something to drink, you got to protect yourself from the punishing sun. There's nowhere to run, there's nowhere to hide. Now, spiritually speaking, that's a retreat. Spiritually speaking, that's what we all need to face. Begin to face these uncomfortable truths that you spent your whole life running away from when you start to see life from God's point of view. Truths like, I'm going to die. And I don't even know how much time I have. And every single day that passes is one day less that I have on this earth, and one day closer to an inevitable judgment with a God with whom I'm not even on good terms. Hard truths that we spend our lives trying to avoid, and boy, do we try to avoid them. Fill our lives with distractions. Sports, music, movies. You know, I was pumping gas the other day, and as soon as I, you know, started, this advertisement came up, and there's not a moment of silence. There's always a distraction. Why? Now, don't get me wrong, there's a place for relaxation. St. Bruno once said, you know, you pull the bowstring in life, you can't keep the bowstring always tense. You got to let it relax a little bit. But I was talking to a kid the other day who says he spends 7 hours a day playing video games, you know? And you got to ask yourself, that's not relaxing anymore. That's escaping. What are we escaping from? Why? We're trying to dull our hardened conscience like a narcotic with distraction after distraction after distraction, because we don't want to face these tough questions in life. We can't bear to face them. One of my favorite little meditations on this comes from Blaise Pascal. But I mentioned this before. But I'll paraphrase him now. He didn't exactly say these words. But he says, you know, the more time that goes by, the more inventions that we make to save us time. And yet the more inventions that we make to save us time, the busier we get. How's that happen? I mean, we got so many inventions designed to save us time, we should be positively made of leisure time. And yet the more inventions that we make designed to save us time, the busier we get. Why? Answer? That's the way we want it. Because it's easier to be busy than it is to face the tough questions. And those are the questions that we need to face. John the Baptist says, the axe of the Lord is at the roots of the tree. Funny axe. Don't most axes go to the stump? Don't most axes leave behind a stump? Not God's axe. God's axe digs up the roots. Because with God, nothing superficial is good enough. He wants 100% of you. And repentance is what happens when we can say with John the Baptist, he must increase and I must decrease. That's the season of Advent. The kingdom of heaven, John the Baptist says, it's at hand. It's right in your midst, and you discover it the moment you decide to repent. But Advent, like life, is a limited time offer, which is why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.